Hi there. Welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy, bringing you communication tips and strategies that will boost your business. Because my guest and I are going to share winning words and ways. Coming to us today from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Sharon McLean. Sharon McLean believes we need leaders to quickly adapt and evolve within the ever-changing dynamics of today's business landscape. She's an experienced businesswoman, digital communication strategist, and instructor in communication for adult learners. This Canadian also is fond of saying she is on team human. I like that. Sharon founded a magazine for business leaders with her husband and sold the Meteor Enterprise, as she puts it, before going broke amid the worldwide economic crisis of 2007-2009. This disruptive change led to her immediate upskilling for the online world and the launch of an investor-backed marketing portal for wellness experts. Before she started specializing in content strategies for business leaders, Sharon relied on her experience in publishing to gather a team of experts in communication to train the evolving hybrid workforce and how we need that. This team designed virtual communication mastery to recognize employees as drivers of the new economy. Now, there's a new slant and a welcome one. Sharon received an inspiration award from the Universal Women's Network, Global Television's Women of Vision Award, and the YMCA's Woman of Distinction in Business nomination. And as she puts it, since life is lived in balance, she also likes to hike, bike, golf, sing, and travel as a digital nomad. So I know that you will enthusiastically join me in welcoming Sharon McLean. Hello, Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Bill Lampton. So nice to be here with you this afternoon.
Yes, and good to be with you as well. One of the things that I would like to key in on to begin with is where you said that you have a very strong appetite for learning business communication. You have a very strong appetite for learning communication. So tell us how that started. Now, that's not something that's universal. It's very special. And of course, it's something you and I share. And that is a desire to learn lifelong as much as we can about communication. What prompted that with you, Sharon?
Bill, communication is central to my life. And I believe it's the lifeblood of humanity, because it really talks to communication, relationships between one-to-one, one-to-many, community, one-to-community, one around the world. So back as a very young woman, I really felt the need to really work on and develop relationships. And how do we do that? Well, we try to do that with better communication skills. So that carried me throughout my lifetime here.
Along that line, I would ask, what do you do to keep that going? You've got that appetite. So in what ways do you continue to develop your communication skills? And your answer to that will give us some tips on how we can do that.
Well, for me, it's been a matter of lifelong learning and testing and watching and communicating and making mistakes in communication and then learning from those mistakes. But I'm going to say lifelong learning. You know what, Bill? I just never, ever learning what is new in our communication world. And certainly most recently, with artificial intelligence, AI, ChatGPT has got me enthralled today.
One of the factors that you and I both are aware of is that in the last 20 to 25 years, with the great opportunities we have with the internet, and now, as you mentioned, artificial intelligence, it takes lifelong learning. It's impossible to, say, get a degree 30 years ago and then you're in step now. It just can't be done. In fact, the very fact that you and I are talking right now, the fact that I even ever had any contact from Gainesville, Georgia, with somebody in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, that's quite miraculous, because a few decades ago, maybe I would read an article of yours that you published, and you were in the publishing business. We'll talk about that. I would write you a letter in hopes that maybe 2 weeks later you might answer the letter. And once you'd answer the letter courteously and professionally, as I'm sure you would, that would probably be the end of our contact. And now there's just no limit, and there's hardly any budget limit. So as you say, unless we keep learning, not only will we fall behind, we'll fall down, but there's an excitement in learning. And I'll have to say to you and to those who are with us on the video and on the podcast, that during my 20 years in management, like you, I had a career before I became a communication consultant. During my 20 years in management, Sharon, I ran from technology. I absolutely thought it was something I could never learn. I'm not very technically oriented, inclined. And so all that time, I had people that I could delegate it to. But guess what? When I became an entrepreneur, there was nobody to delegate it to. So I did what was very necessary and extremely helpful. I found people who knew what I did not know. And I still have, since 1997, the same tech and marketing mentor. He was one of those who saw the value of the internet, the potential. And he started in a day when practically nobody else was doing it. So I would imagine you've had some mentors as well.
So many to count, Bill, honest to goodness. Over the years, I started my friends. And so the careers from those days would be gentlemen in the name of Jim Vincent here, in who I've known for all of these years. And from there into fundraising development, and Jim Killick, who was the executive director from the charitable sector organization I worked with, Age of Dimes. You have, it's a global organization. And then on and on and on over the years. The transition, you're reminding me of my time from transitioning from the magazine into becoming a now over 12 or over 10 years ago, and the same idea that we could, in an executive role, we could delegate those technical responsibilities to any number of disciplines. But as we became consultants, and certainly as we became involved in digital communications or the digital enterprise world of it, then it became really, really clear to me that I had better learn these skills that I was delegating, because at some point that person may or may not be able to perform the duties I require. Somebody has to step in. That's me. So your story really resounds with me.
Did you have, as it seemed you indicated, did you have a career or a role in professional fundraising?
I did. That was my middle career, I like to call it, fundraising development. And I know you have a serious career in that role with the institutes of higher learning, your universities. Yes, my first role after leaving, let's say, was with Easter Seals. And with Easter Seals, we were a national organization, very heavily involved in fundraising development. And from there, I moved into the world of arts and culture and became the development director for our Citadel Theater, which is a regional theater in Canada. So I loved those years. My goodness, what I learned from the mentors on those boards of directors and the volunteers, thousands of volunteers, some more active, some more skilled, but did they ever teach me how to stick to my guns and be persistent? So I loved it. Yeah.
As you just indicated, I had two decades in professional fundraising. And I know that you and I would agree, and I think our viewers and listeners would agree, if you want to put your communication skills to the test, become a professional fundraiser, where you go to people and ask for major contributions. You just don't do that off the cuff. It takes research. It takes learning a great deal about, as we said, communication. If you ever have to know your product, and we talk about that in sales and marketing, if you ever have to know your product, you certainly have to know it in fundraising, because you're going to get many, many questions. I think that one of the most valuable lessons I learned was my first year in development work, where I had moved from the faculty of the University of Georgia. And the person who was my supervisor before I went out and started making fundraising solicitations, we would call them, he said, "I want to give you a phrase that will work wonders. Instead of asking somebody, can you give $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000, whatever. Instead of asking them, can you give that, ask them, could you consider a gift of?" And the magic in that was that took away the feeling of force or pressure. Sure, they could consider it, and that meant by considering it, they had the option to decline or to commit. And so before we go to any other topics, is there any particular key like that that you remember that you still find valuable in communication, Sharon?
Long, Bill. Many times I have said this. I wish that business could learn so much more from fundraising and the charitable sector. And on the likewise, the charitable sector from the business sector. If we had those skills brought together, learning from each other, we would have a seriously growth economy. And challenges would be overcome, I think, very much from the charitable that we invite people to join our higher purpose. So I would always like to say, then, rather than gifting or giving to this particular cause, would you invest in the higher purpose of our, who wouldn't want to have a better cultural life or a better medical life? Better any type of life within our community, because business and government are not taking care of all of our needs. But together we are investing in a better world.
I like that. And the word invest, of course, is something that we, as consultants, we talk to our potential clients about. We don't say, would you be willing to pay something? That's very brass and blunt and unappealing. We say to them that hiring our communication consulting services, I think you and I both would say, this is not an expenditure on your part. It's an investment. It's an investment in how we can help you to develop your communication skills. Is that a phrase you might find appealing, Sharon?
Oh my goodness, you've touched on something very close to my heart again, Bill. So the board of directors I spent some time with a few years back was on the world of intangible assets and how we have switched from tangible assets and the investment of the bricks and mortar that we live in to intangible assets. Intangible assets speaks to putting your employees on the balance sheet where before they were expensed as essentially by investing in your employees, they become an intangible asset and now move to the other side of the equation and look like equity in your organization. And doesn't that turn the tables on our?
Very well put. Sharon, we're going to come back in a few seconds and talk about your publishing career and what you see as the future of magazine and newspaper publishing today. A very vital question. We'll be right back.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
Yes, Sharon, we go back to thinking about your publishing days now. 21 years publishing a magazine. I remember, and I don't know if this was the case in Canada, but in the United States, it was so common in waiting rooms of doctors' offices to have a dozen or more magazines that those patients could read. I mean, it was just a standard. And one of the factors that I've noticed among my acquaintances here in Gainesville, Georgia, there are so many, I will say, did you see something in the local paper? Oh, we don't subscribe. We don't subscribe. And so the trend, of course, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution would be an excellent example of how adjustments have to take place. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a daily newspaper. In fact, at one point, it was morning and afternoon. It was a daily newspaper for 150 years. And then about 3 months ago, no more printed editions, except I think maybe they still do a Sunday edition that they deliver, but everything is online now. I'm not going to knock the internet. You and I love it, but it has had a tremendous impact on publishing. So as a veteran publisher who was right there with ink on your hands for a long, long time, what do you see as the future, the very near future even, of magazines and newspapers?
Well, I can see that we're not going back, Bill. We are going forward. And much as I love the publishing magazine business, and it is a big part of my heart because it really was part and central into the community in which I live, which is Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It was very much a part of the centrality of that community building. And so what I see now, of course, is, and we all know what's happened over the last decade and a half, is the arrival of so many citizen journalists online and offline. I do think that magazines need to have a place, and those really refined magazines with better forms of paper, certainly requirement for tremendous photography and really solid interviewing skills, I think those might take with them a really precious place. Then, of course, the rest will be our digital enterprise. I mean, look, we've already made in the last 6 months, there's been lots of chatter about AI and its effect on writing and interviewing and editing. I kind of think that media that will have really high quality elements to them in the future. I'll tell you what I really and truly miss, though, Bill, is a journalistic approach to, and that anytime I see an article or a blog or somebody with a comment, I will need deeper and deeper to find out who and did they have, when they were reporting on that story and or creating that content, did they come together with qualified sources themselves? That's really what I miss most about journalism today, is still journalists who double check their sources and come back with a written piece.
There's one interesting slant that I doubt that many newspapers, local newspapers, would try, but I've seen it work so effectively. I grew up in a very, very small town in Mississippi. The town still has a population of 6,000 or fewer. They have two editions of the paper per week. I still subscribe to it. And the reason I believe it is so successful is they have absolutely nothing in the way of national or international news. Everything is local. If their thought is, if you're going to be a local newspaper, then let's have everything local. And I'm not a trained journalist, but I know that people like to read about what's going on around them, the events, the people, the milestones, the anniversaries, the celebrations. And one of the most popular columns that local newspaper had, and I wrote them and told them I really commended them for it, they called it Looking Back. And they would print items from 50 years ago and 30 years ago, and just in one column, you know, a few selected ones. And it brought back memories for people from those decades. So I suppose I'm saying just off the cuff that the personal side of journalism is what I hope we don't lose.
Well, I think that's a terrific strategy on the part of that community, your community, Bill. The strategy being that memories are so important to us. Again, it's about connection. You know, within my students, the classes that I teach at NAIT, Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. And we have classes in the applied business writing, problem solving, leadership. The essence of writing to somebody on the other side of the screen, now we're talking digital communication, is to understand there's a human on the other side of that screen. It is not an 8x10 or a 10x12 or 15, 17. There's a human on the other side of that communication and listening to what it is that you're saying, hearing what it is that you're saying. The same thing with the printed medium and the newspaper. There are people picking up or making an effort to go and pick up or receive and flip through those pages, and they are absorbing what it is, the message that you are wanting to convey through the newspaper, building relationships, building connections between the reporter, the editor, the publisher, and the community reading what it is they have to say. We don't need at the community level, probably, like they have agreed, national coverage, international coverage. That's coming to us from all different levels. What we want is to grow our community. So I love that, what they've done.
Just popped into my head that to me, it explains the ongoing, long-time popularity of People magazine. Magazine is about people. Go ahead.
Sorry, that's exactly right. People. We kind of use that same philosophy with the magazine I published over those 21 years. It was people everywhere. People on the cover. We rarely had an inanimate object on the cover of the magazine. It was a human's face. But by and large, Bill, we need to also remember and understand that publishing, whether it's in your local municipality, where you grew up. It's about advertisers who are the bring the lifeblood. So they also publish a statement when they're going alongside those editorialist stories as part of this community.
And one thing that made advertising dive so much years ago, before economy downturns, the classified ads, it was mostly jobs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Job opportunities. But that's a very small segment of a newspaper now. Sharon, talking with you again on the Biz Communication Show is a treat. And I know that you have given us those tips and strategies and the winning words and ways that I talked about in the introduction. People will want to get in touch with you, I'm sure. So please give us your contact information.
Well, the best place for me, Bill, is where you and I connect, and that's on LinkedIn. So it's Sharon A. period M. period McLean, and the company Media. LinkedIn.
Anyone who contacts you, it will be in touch with a vital resource for learning more about communication. Thank you for that contact information. And now that you've given yours, I'm glad to share mine. I invite our viewers and listeners to go to my YouTube channel. Go to the search bar on YouTube and type in my YouTube handle, we'd call it Bill Lampton, PhD. You'll have access not only to this interview, but to more than 400 instructional videos that I've posted, with about 75 of those being issues of the Biz Communication Show, where I'm not just presenting instructions and tips and strategies solo, but I'm calling on experts like Sharon McLean. So I invite you to go there. And also, while you're on my YouTube channel, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Also, my website, since I'm the Biz Communication Guy, quite logically, my website is biz, bizcommunicationguy.com. And notice, please, on the website that there's an opportunity for you to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done that. Certainly, after you've become familiar with how I serve corporations and leaders, I certainly invite you to give me an exploratory, non-obligation phone call, 678-316-4300, so that we can discuss your communication problems and challenges and how I can assist you with them. Thanks again so much to Sharon McLean for being with us today. Thanks to those of you who joined us on video and on the podcast. And in closing, Sharon, do you have any thoughts and a few words to sort of pull this all together for us?
Bill, I believe that the theme that and the thread that's run through our conversation today has been all about how communication has evolved. And that the how it has moved from generation to generation. Always please remember, whether it is communication or digital communication or the future with AI, that there are human beings. Join me on Team Human when you're writing to somebody or with your next client.
You're a valuable resource, and I've been so fortunate. You and I met through Clubhouse, you might remember.
I do remember that. Clubhouse, yes. And are you still there on Clubhouse?
We had some fascinating discussions, and on our panel on that, we had some terrific people who shared their expertise. It was an exciting time.
Social audio, another, yeah.
Yes. All the best to you, Sharon. All the best to our viewers and listeners. Be with us for the next edition of the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy.